couple weeks ago, I was sharing with you concerning the blessing of God. That God's face is shining upon us, all because of the grace of Almighty God. And so, what do we receive from that blessing of God? That his face shines upon us. He lifts up his countenance upon us. The result is we get peace in our soul. Shalom. It's well with our soul. May not be well with our bodies, our health, our wealth, relationships, but it's well with our soul. As I was sharing with you at that time, is the reason why it's well with our soul is because the Holy Spirit has inscribed in our soul, I wish we could see it, the name of the Lord our God. That's why he says in the covenant promise, I am that I am the Lord your God, and I'm with you to bless you and make you a blessing. And I promise to give you the eternal promised land. That's God's covenant promise to all of God's people. So this morning, we're going to look at the other side of that coin of blessing. How do we respond in times of great trial that we find ourselves in, even just in this COVID virus and other things that we are struggling with? How do we respond to the blessing of God? So join with me as we pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we have a promise that you promised us and you have given to us, that we might be faithful, we might enjoy you, enjoy your salvation that God, you have graciously given to us. So whatever the situation may be today, we pray that you would just honor your word. Bless your people this day. In your name we pray these things. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, or it's also in your bulletin, Mary said in chapter 1, verse 46, my soul glorifies the Lord. We've done that already in that Psalm 34. Let us exalt his name together. We praised his name together. My soul glorifies the Lord, then my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Skipping down to verse 49, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Think about Mary, the human mother of Jesus Christ. She's leaving Judea to come to the city of Nazareth. And it's said that nothing good comes out of Nazareth. It's almost like the bumper sticker we have here in Portland. Keep Portland weird. And we're doing a good job at that, aren't we? Keeping Portland weird. Well, Mary's gone back to Nazareth, her hometown. She's pregnant with the Christ child. Elizabeth and Zechariah know what's going on, but Mary's headed home. How will her husband-to-be, she's betrothed to Joseph, she's been given in marriage to him, how will he respond to this occurrence when she returns home after 3 or 4 months now? Give it evidence, she's pregnant. What will he say? How will he receive her? And then, how will her mom and dad receive her back? They're the ones that gave her in marriage to Joseph. And both families are involved here. How will they receive her? When she goes to the well to be with her girlfriends that she's been raised with, she can hear all the scuttlebutt that's going to go on in Nazareth. How did Mary, she left here espoused, and she went to Judea to see some friends down there, and she's come back pregnant. How could that be, Mary? And so she could hear all the scuttlebutt at the well and all throughout the city of Nazareth. But not only that, but then the priest, will she be excommunicated out of the synagogue? Will she be shamed in her community that she was raised in? She comes back under a very, very, very dark cloud. Now we know the story. The angel Gabriel also came to Joseph and said, Joseph, take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And now both Mary and Joseph in the community are under that dark cloud in the city of Nazareth and all around. Could it get any worse? Well, the baby's to be born. 9 months has come about. And now Joseph and Mary hear that they have to take a long, long journey back to Bethlehem to register in order to pay their unjust taxes, just like everybody else is in the country of Palestine. Why now, Lord? I'm going to have your son. Why are you telling me and my husband that we have to make this long journey down there? And they do it. And once they get down there, the scripture says, there's no room in the inn. Really, no room in the guest room. Because everybody else is paying their taxes down there. And Joseph's relatives are in that house, Levi's house. No room in the guest room. And what happens? They go out in the back of the house, and they have the Christ child. There are a few terrified shepherds are there, but that's all. That's all. What are you going to do in these days, Mary and Joseph, especially Mary? How are you going to handle this extreme problem do you find yourself in? This dark cloud that's hanging over your life. And maybe that's how you feel. It may not be well with your health. It may not be well with your wealth. It may not be well with your relationships. How are you going to deal with it? Mary says, in spite of it all, my soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. We may not be able to control the situations we find ourselves in, but we can control our attitudes. How do we respond? Mary teaches us, just praise the Lord and rejoice in God your Savior. Amen to that? All that you find yourself in today, it's pretty complex. Holy is your name, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is your name. Well, who is this God? Well, we find in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the word God is used the first time. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that word is the word Elohim. You've heard that word probably many times, Elohim. It means mighty one. But I think you'll agree with me, he's the almighty one. The almighty one. It's a plural noun. From the very beginning, God has revealed himself as the Almighty Father in heaven, the Almighty Son, and the Almighty Spirit of God. But that word is also used in the Ten Commandments, the first commandment. You shall have no other Elohims in my face or in my presence. That's how the word is used there, Elohim. these Elohims or spirit powers that are all around us. The days in which Israel came into the promised land, they came to see the people of God, the people of Canaan, the Canaanites. And God had prospered the Canaanites very, very definitely. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. God had prospered them, and they were giving their children over to demons, the scripture says. Believing the lie that if they give their children over to the priest to sacrifice their children, that they would be blessed. And Baal, the spirit of the storm, would bless their crops. They believed that lie. They also believed the lie that if they sacrifice their bodies, they give their bodies over to the temple prostitution. Religious prostitution was going on. That Ashtoreth and the sex goddess would bless them. They believed that lie. Maybe we're believing the lie as well in our society today. The Elohims are very active. Our society is taught to say, maybe we're giving our own children, our unborn children, over to demons. The Elohims. Sad situation we find ourselves in today. Oh, brother demon, what are you laughing about? Oh, I see. I see what you're laughing about. On Father's Day, in June, on Father's Day, you have encouraged all those men to dress up as women and plaster their face with lipstick and march through the city streets of Portland. That's why you're laughing, oh demon, brother demon. Come a long ways. From 1993, and I was sharing this with our adult Bible study Wednesday. In 1993, do you realize that 10,000 believers were marching through the streets of Portland singing praises to Jesus' name? 1993, what a difference has been taking place. Oh, yes, I see you over there laughing, brother demon, again. I know what you're doing. You've influenced for 55, 56 nights. Oh, that downtown Portland, it looks like a war zone. Way to go, brother demon. You're doing a good job out there. I think I'll advance you to another city to do the same kind of thing you're doing there. You see, my friends, what the Canaanites experienced and what we're experiencing is spiritual warfare. And we're living in that kind of a day in which we live. And we're dealing with spiritual issues. What's happening down in the streets of Portland is a spiritual battle that's taking place. Maybe we as God's people need to begin to start to really pray. Weapons of warfare that we have. Pray for Antiva that God would change their hearts. Change the hearts of the people down there. Not to believe the lie that the less police, the less crime and violence. That's circulating through the halls of Congress. Take away the police, take away law and order, and then you'll have less crime and violence. Who in the world is behind all that? Brother demons. In the midst of all that we've talked about so far, what do we have here? Mary says, "My spirit, my soul rejoices in God, my Savior." We may not be able to change what's going on down in the streets of Portland. In fact, other cities are supporting what's going on in the city of Portland, even today or tonight. We may not be able to change that. We get really upset and frustrated over things that are happening today around us. But it's time for we as God's people to enjoy our salvation. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Elohim, the Almighty One. I call him the Almighty Breathing One of the universe. Thank you, Lord, for the salvation you've given to us. Almighty Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you. I want to praise your name. Your name is holy. I want to enjoy the truth that before the creation of the world, Almighty Father, you chose me in love relationship, in this love relationship. I praise you, Almighty Father, for choosing me by loving me before the world began. I praise you, Holy Father, for predestinating me to mark me out beforehand to be your adopted son and daughter. All to the praise and glory of your grace. I don't deserve it. I can't earn it. But you've marked me out before creation. Why would you do that, God? And you signed my adoption papers in the blood of your son, which can never be revoked. Almighty Son of God, thank you for purchasing me, giving your life to redeem me, to purchase me, make me one of your own. I rejoice in my salvation, Mary says. And we say as well. And what do I get out of it, Jesus, the Son of God? Well, if you read there that portion in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, it says, because we've been purchased by the blood of Christ, we receive forgiveness of all of our sins. And you've heard us say we are forever forgiven of all of our sins, past and present and future. That's what we get out of our salvation. What a reason to rejoice in our salvation. Almighty Father, Almighty Son. And you've lavished upon me all your grace. I don't deserve to be forever forgiven, Lord. I think of that thief on the cross. Not as a thief, but a murderer, hanging there with Jesus. And all he said was, Lord, remember me. And Jesus said to him, today you will be with me in paradise. God had forgiven all of his sins. And his angels came and took him to paradise. We're only one breath away from paradise. Because we've been forever forgiven of all of our sins, the sins of thought, the sins of words, the sins of actions and deeds, and they're all gone. We've been pardoned because of the grace of Almighty God. Isn't that cause to rejoice in the midst of all the situation we find ourselves today? Rejoice in our salvation. Almighty Spirit of God, what have you done for me? You're my mark of ownership. I'm down payment. I'm not only forever forgiven, forever loved, but I'm forever secured. I know I'm going home. If it happened to the thief on the cross, then there's hope for all of us. So no matter what the situation may be in your life today, it's time to just rejoice in God. Our Savior. But he's not only our Savior. We need to rejoice in God, Elohim, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We need to rejoice in our creation that God has given to us. I think we need to join Charlie Brown's gang. Need to sometime this summer lay down in the green grass and look up at the clouds. And no clouds there today, but look up at the clouds and enjoy the creation that God has given to us, because he made this world for us to enjoy together with him. We need to enjoy the Lord our God. The Lord our God is waiting for us out there on the beaches of Oregon. He's waiting for us to enjoy him in the national parks. Yesterday, I took my grandson. He's looking for a beach where he can take his new love person that he's enjoying to be with. He says, "Grandpa, you gotta come with me today. We gotta look for a good beach." We went down to a beach on the Columbia River and just enjoyed being together. And we laid down there in the sand and we looked up at the sky and we were talking about how beautiful the world is around us. And I said, "Amen, Spencer. Let's enjoy this time we have together and look at God's creation and enjoy it together. The Lord our God is waiting for us, not just to enjoy our salvation, but to enjoy the world around us, because he's made it for us to enjoy together with him. And if we think this is beautiful, can you imagine what the new heavens and new earth is going to be about? So holy is your name in the midst of all this problems we find ourselves in today. Because Satan is really, really strong, really at work. It's time just to enjoy God, our Savior, with Mary. And enjoy the God of creation. But then Mary goes on and says, beforehand, "My soul exalts the Lord." Remember that word Lord is a sacred name for God. It's the word Yahweh, wonderful name. The eternal being one, the one who always was before the breath of creation, the one who is from creation to the consummation. This is Yahweh, the one who always will be. My soul exalts more than just Elohim, the creator, the breathing one, the almighty breathing one. My soul exalts the Lord who always was, is, and always will be. You see, from creation to the consummation, it's all about his story. History is his story. His story is all about calling the people to himself from every tribe, tongue, and nation. He's been active doing that. It's happening right here today. All around the world, his story is taking place. His story is not about who's going to be president of the United States. His story is not about, will the stock market go up or down? That's not his story. His story is what we rejoice in, that God is truly calling the people to himself from every tribe, tongue, and nation. And he's calling a people from downtown Portland to himself. We need to pray that God call people to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and join his story, because he's Yahweh, the one who always was. We praise you, Lord, the one who is from creation to the consummation, the one who always will be. But it's more than that, because the word Yahweh is the covenant name for God. The covenant name for God. I am that I am, the Lord your God, and I'm with you. I'm with you to bless you. Therefore, we praise your name, Lord God, because you always were in love with me, with us. Before the creation, you had us in your mind. You loved us before you breathed the universe into existence. Thank you, God. I don't deserve that. You marked me out to be your adopted son and daughter. I don't deserve that. And so, Lord, I just want to praise your name. Yahweh, always in love with me, You are in love with me now. God the Father, you showed, you proved your love for me in that while I was yet a sinner, your Son died for me. And he rose again from the dead to give me the promise of everlasting life. And then he ascended to heaven, and he's right there in heaven right now praying a love prayer for me and you. And the Holy Spirit, the indwelling prayer partner, is praying for us as well, interceding for us right here and now. Zephaniah says he's singing love songs to us. Not only praying love prayers, but he's singing love songs to us. And nothing will separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because your salvation is based on your name. You always were in love with me, you are in love with me, and you always will be in love with me. So let us learn a lesson from Mary. Going back to Nazareth, she had no idea what was going to happen to her. Who would receive her? Would she be shamed? And on the way home, all she was saying is, my soul exalts Yahweh the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. The Almighty One, Elohim Yahweh, has done great things for me. Holy is his name. So I don't know what your situation may be today. Maybe God's really blessing you and things are really good, but maybe things are not so good in your life. You may not be able to change what's going down in Portland or the other cities or other places or even this world. But we can certainly change our attitude in the midst of it all. So let us praise his name today, huh? Amen? Let us rejoice in God our Savior, all that he is and all that he's done for us. For that is true, and nothing ever can change that. So Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for your Son. The Gospel of Isaiah says, it pleased you, Lord, to crush your Son and make your Son soul an offering for our sin, that you may own us and have us for yourself forever. We're so unworthy. But Lord, thank you for the love, the gracious love that you have for us. Thank you, Lord, that your face does shine upon us all because of your grace, and it truly is well with our soul. Thank you for inscribing upon our souls the name, your name, the Lord God. We pray, Father, for your people this day and whatever situation may they find themselves in. We pray that you would give them joy today in all that we can say and do. We just say, Lord, amen and amen. Let it be so. Amen.